Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Cambucos.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete Cambucos, here with your co-host, Keith Anderson, and we're coming to you from the KP Studios here at the Forum. So, Keith, we've got an interesting topic today. What are we going to be talking about?
Yes, I don't think I can come up with a more interesting topic to start out about the business of real estate. I mean, this is literally our focus going forward. So what we're going to talk about is the real estate business that you guys have. And are you self-employed or are you a business owner? Where do you fall in line with that? And it's a common question and it's very hard to discern. It's very hard to paint a picture of your real estate business and know which quadrant you land in.
Yeah. So this is a concept for any of you guys out there. This is a concept that I know most of us were introduced to with, or at least defined with Robert Kiyosaki's book, Cashflow Quadrant. And so if anybody out there hasn't read some of Kiyosaki's books, they're excellent. His first one, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are very familiar with that book. Excellent book. And then his second one was Cashflow Quadrant, which talks about these different quadrants. And, you know, two of them being the self-employed and the business owner. So just to run through those. So obviously we've got four quadrants. We're looking at number one, employee. Number two, self-employed. Number three, business owner. And number four, investor. So Keith, I think most people are familiar with two of those, right?
Yep. I think the two outsides looking in are pretty self-explanatory. They're pretty easy to understand. It's the two in the middle that become a little more difficult. So the first being employee, that's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty simple. Do you work for someone? Do you have a salary, a W-2, a paycheck every 2 weeks? And do you have a standard job and are you getting paid for it? That's pretty simple. You usually know if you're an employee.
Yeah, and the definition for all four of these, before we're breaking it down is how do you make your money? And so that's where the name Cashflow Quadrant comes from. It's where's your cash flow coming from? How do you make your money? So just like you said, First one is you're an employee, you're getting paid from somebody else, right?
Absolutely. And then that other one on the other end of the spectrum is kind of like the complete opposite of that. You are an absolute investor, which is pretty much removed from almost everything. And yet you're letting your money work for yourself.
Right.
And you're not really involved in the day-to-day of any sorts, but you're overseeing your investment in itself.
Yeah, you're putting your capital to work. Yep. You're putting your resources to work and you're getting a return on those. So the other two, number two and number three, self-employed and business owner, this is where a lot of people in the real estate industry fall, and this is the one that we're gonna focus on today. So let's talk about what are some of the differences and how do we figure out which one we're in. So easiest way when you're starting off is how do I know if I'm self-employed? And self-employed people, the best way I like to think about it is you created your own job. So instead of working for somebody else, you still have a job, but now you own your job. So, and what I mean by that is if you're still trading your time for money, just like you do when you're an employee, is that still how you're primarily getting your income? And now the only difference has become rather than someone else or a company paying you that paycheck, you're generating it, but it's still coming off of just your time, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think it's important to know that this is actually where a majority of real estate agents actually fall. I think a lot of people.
And I think it's where everybody starts out.
It is. Because I know when we first started the business, this is where we started out. We had to.
Right.
I think what's important with a self-employed individual, especially in the real estate business, is this is going to be seen as someone that's wearing a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think a lot of people say that they say, hey, what's my job? And you could say real estate, laugh it off a little bit. Or you could say, you know, lawyer, you could say you're a divorce attorney. You're also going to say you're a salesperson, a transaction coordinator, all of those items that are involved in a real estate transaction.
Counselor.
Yes. Counselor, mathematician. I mean, everything you want to think about. But I think that's really important to know is a self-employed individual has many jobs and tasks in order for the business to work and for that individual to get paid. So they are trading time and money, and they're trading their time in many different places for that money.
Yep. And some of the other characteristics, just so you know, with the self-employed that we see a lot of times is, and I know we're both guilty of this, but you start off with it's the attitude of, well, no one can do it better than me. I've got to do everything because I'm the best at it, and it's not going to get done if I don't do it, or it's not going to get done right. And so you have a lot of times it's hard for folks in that self-employed to let go as well. But let's look at the business owner side. So business owner, as opposed to the self-employed, what are some of the characteristics we're looking at here? So on a business owner, this is where you're starting to put systems in place, and you've got either a system or a product that you are leveraging, and that's a key term here. You're leveraging this to produce that income or that cash flow. So you're not just trading your time for money. You have now started to leverage something else and put things in place, whether that be people, systems, technology that you're using in a certain way to help you grow your business and continue to work your business, even if you're not out there pounding the pavement every second.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to kind of dissect that a little bit and maybe split that line is this person is someone that is not working in the business. It's someone that's working on their business. And right. I think that's super, super important to understand is when you're self-employed, you're in the business every single day, time. Nonstop. The lights do not go out. It's always on. You're taking that call at 2 a.m. sometimes for whatever reason.
And
you're
calling prepping. You at 2 a.m.?
Pete, you'd be surprised. You know, that first year, I got many calls at 2 a.m. And it would be something silly like, are we closing tomorrow? And I don't know why they're calling me at 2 a.m. I guess I'd stay up late and be struggling to sleep.
They're up having some shots or something. Who knows? Yeah.
Hey, you know, the weekend. But I think the thing to keep in mind is you're working in the business. Every day you're doing something to help you close more deals. But when you're a business owner, you're working on the business. You're creating an environment where business closes itself. And I think that's where that dissection is. And we want to kind of give you a more visual explanation of what that looks like, right? So when we're self-employed, let's give you an example. Agent Smith, for instance. Let's put this in perspective so you guys can kind of relate to it a little bit more. Agent Smith wakes up every single day. He goes to the office, or maybe he works at home, either way, and he is generating business. He starts his day off making calls, you know, lead generating of some sorts. Maybe he's setting up for an open house. He's door knocking. Whatever it is, he's generating business, and then he's going to cultivate the business. He's following up. He's encouraging them to the contract process. He's showing them houses. From there, he's going to be taking the lead, and he's going to be turning it into a contract, hopefully. That's where that success can happen. And then from there, he's nurturing that entire file all the way to finish. That's one of the other hats that he's wearing all the way to the end. Yep. And he's making sure that that file stays together, and then he gets paid. So that's a whole process of just a typical real estate transaction. Generate the lead, nurture that lead, cultivate it, and close the deal.
So those are excellent points. And I think that's a great outline of what it looks like when you're self-employed in the real estate business. So Keith, I've got a question for you now.
Yeah.
What happens if Agent Smith gets hurt? What happens if he gets sick and he can't work now?
Yeah, I hope he has some insurance of some sort, because that's the crazy part about being self-employed. And you have to really look at your business. That's where the risk factor comes in. Because if you get hurt and you're truly self-employed, there's no one else there generating the business. You start to see that gap theory of real estate where that roller coaster effect starts to come in. And if you're without lead generation for a month, 2 months, let's say you got really sick, you got really hurt, your business flow stops. Who's in there creating all those opportunities? I mean, if your wife's in there making calls for you, I mean, you better hope that she's doing a good job and gets her license fast, because if you're out, you know, there's no one generating that business.
So let's look at that business owner side then. So on the business owner side, the key difference here is this person, what do you want to call him? Agent K?
Agent K, I like that.
Agent K. So now we've got Agent Smith self-employed. Agent K is a business owner. So what does that mean? Agent K is starting to put some systems in place. And so maybe he's got, you know, a CRM that he he's putting out campaigns, and he's got some autoresponders on here, and maybe, you know, he's doing enough business. Now he's got a showing assistant. So he doesn't have to go out there and do everything all on his own. Maybe he's got a transaction coordinator that's working for him. Maybe he's part of a team where he can leverage all types of resources there on the team to not have to do everything himself. And so I think as we start to describe this too, it's important to mention there are different levels, right? Yeah, you don't have to, you know, a lot of times I think when people think about business owner, you know, you don't have to be Jeff Bezos running Amazon or, you know, somebody that necessarily just owns the brokerage. You could be an individual agent on a smaller level that is using leverage and putting systems in place.
Yeah. Remember, our focus for what defines a business owner is someone that's not working in the business. They're working on the business. And the focus is the closer you get to always working on the business and the less you're working in the business, the further down that chart of being a business owner you become. And that's the difference, is you're nonstop going to be working that spectrum to become a bigger and bigger business owner and alleviate a lot of that.
So we've gone over some of those differences there, Keith. Which one's better? Is one better? Do we assume that one's better than the other necessarily?
See, and this is where it gets tough, and we may differ in a little bit of an opinion, but I personally think that it's better depending on what your individual goals are. They're made for different people in essence. Some people aren't built for the business owner type role, and that's just in their nature. And they would usually tell you that. They would say, hey, no, I do not want to manage, lead, come up with resources, decipher a lot of those things. I'd rather just stay in my lane, do my business. And the hard part about some of that is there are pros and cons with both directions. You're going to have the other where they're a business owner and they want to lead. They don't want to be stuck in their ways for very long.
Or the one that we see all the time, we hear all the time, especially in real estate, what's the big benefit to being that self-employed person? Big benefit right off the bat is you're making money quicker.
Oh, yeah.
You're making a lot more money as a self-employed person in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you can get things up and running. You're the one out there hustling. You're the one driving this business. You're the one making it happen. And, you know, if you're working harder, you should be making more money, you know, considering you got some skill there. But if you're doing it, it's all up to you, right?
Yep. And I think what goes beyond that is also you're going to have less things coming out of your income as well. Remember, if you're doing all the jobs, you're not paying things, right? So you have very little expense and cost with being self-employed because you're focusing on you're doing all those tasks. If you're not hiring a transaction coordinator, you're saving that money, but you're doing that task and you're doing all the lead generation. You're doing all those efforts. So you're not paying referral fees. You're not doing those other things. So your income might be stronger at the beginning, but now you're consuming a different type of income and that's your time.
So, well, part of that we've got to consider, and I know this is where you and I have come from when we were building, you know, our business, is you've also got to take a longer term look at your business. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it is. And some of the thing with the self-employed is there are limitations there. If you're doing everything yourself, there's only one of you and there's only 24 hours in a day. So yeah, you can get off to a much quicker start. You can make more money for sure right off the bat, but are you going to keep doing that forever? Are you going to keep at that, you know, with no nonstop?
I mean, and that's why you see it so often in the real estate industry. It's amazing how many people want to sell real estate into their 90s. That's not me. I would rather not cane it out at 90 years old and be walking on showings in a wheelchair rolling to showings on a wheelchair because I've just done it for my entire life. Like, there has to be things in place to remove yourself from that grind on a daily basis and put some of those systems and tools in place so that you can develop a business that works beyond you. So we talked about it. One of the big things that I had goals for our business was the fact that I would love to take a trip with the family, with the kids, and head out. Well, kids one day, right? take a trip with the kids.
Is there a special announcement coming here?
No, not on podcast one. This can't happen. No, but this is a focus that I want to be able to take those trips, leave for a while, and not have to worry that the business was going to explode while I was gone. And so being a business owner, that's the biggest pro. We can go for 3 weeks in Cabo. You can head out for a month and go overseas somewhere, and you're coming back, and the business is still running while you're gone. If you're self-employed and you leave, it's not working. Right. It's not running. You're going to have to come and redo that start, and you're going to have to start that roller coaster effect and push that rock right back up that hill. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind.
Yeah. And that totally makes sense. And I think one of the examples I always use when I talk to people, and this is something that everyone can relate to outside of real estate as well, is, you know, how do you know if you're looking, for example, at a doctor? Is a doctor self-employed or is he a business owner?
Could be both.
Could be both. So that's a great point. So, and we know people that are both. So we all can relate to a doctor. Now, a doctor can be working at a practice, seeing his patients, and he's getting paid as a very highly paid self-employed. Yeah, probably, or like we said,
getting paid really well.
Getting paid really well. But he's only making money while he's there seeing patients. If he's going away, he's not getting paid. Same with a lawyer. People think, you know, highly billable hours with a lawyer. Well, if he doesn't have billable hours and you know, she's not meeting clients and not there, she's not getting paid. Now, on the other hand, you've got doctors and attorneys that are business owners, because if they own the practice, well, now they've got some leverage and they've got systems and they've got people in place.
And other doctors in there.
They've got other doctors, other attorneys in there. So
seeing patients.
That's it. And so if they go away for a month, that business continues to run and everything is moving along and they can come in and see patients when they get back, but they're still making money when they're gone. And so I think that's an easy way a lot of times that people can relate to on those.
So it kind of brings us to that next phase in this discussion, and it's deciding, okay, Pete, Keith, I see now I'm self-employed. I get it. Well, how do I make that leap? Like, what are the things that I'm going to need to do? Like, real estate's a huge, huge industry with so many factors and variables and lots of stuff to tackle. Where do I start? What do I choose? It can be very overwhelming, right? And you can't look at it like they use the analogy, what? How do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. It's That's the same concept with moving into business ownership. You can't just become a business owner. It doesn't happen overnight. For Pete and I, it took a year and a half of building before the business started to move into that business ownership role. It started with us being self-employed, wearing all the hats. So Pete, tell me, what were some of those first things we did to start that transition?
So here's what we did at the beginning, where we recommend anyone that's looking to make that move. This is step one. So what we did when we first started, and I can remember putting this thing out on the whiteboard and figuring this all out, is we started with that vision at the beginning when we started the team of, okay, what are all of the roles that we're going to need on this team? You know, we're gonna need a sales manager, a marketing person, a transaction, all the stuff that goes in there. So we listed all those out. What are all the tasks that we do that are all going to be needed? What is everything that we do and who's doing them and all of that stuff? So we had that big picture at the beginning of everything that we do day to day, everything that needs to be done, and everybody that's doing all these things. But the difference was when we started out, we were doing all of them. We had every role and we had every
200
task.
Hats.
That's it.
And I think that's what's important. So step one for you guys that are trying to make that move from self-employed to business owner is you need to write down every single task that you do for your business every single day. You write it all out. What we like to call it is a time audit, if you will. And you're managing how much time you're spending on your business and all the tasks that you do. So, and I'm talking as detailed as possible, every little thing. If it's literally prep a listing packet, like you might think, hey, my task is do a listing and go on a listing appointment. No. Your task is way beyond that. You need to print out the marketing guide. You need to print out your listing comps and do the comps and do all the paperwork, prep all the paperwork.
He's doing the research on it.
You need to staple the packet. I'm talking, you need to go in depth. I want some details, okay? And you need to list out every single item so that you know everything that your job entails. And then here's the important part. I want you to circle on that list every single item. Like I would say maybe start with your top five. Circle your top five weakest spots or your most hated tasks. What are you the worst at? And it sounds harsh, but that's where we started. What were Pete and I the worst at when we first started? Guess what we didn't really like to do very well and very much, and we didn't like to do it because we weren't very good at it. It was the transaction management side of things.
Yep.
We are not the most organized people on the planet. We know that there are so many other people that were better at that role than us.
Yeah.
And so that's the key. You got to circle those weak tasks that you're not very strong at and the ones you just absolutely hate and you struggle with doing every single day.
Yep. And you've got to. So as Keith was saying, now you're putting these, you're circling them. And then the key that we've touched on before is now you want to start leveraging. So how do I get away? So number two is how do I get away from doing these tasks? And this is where you start to find systems or people that can help you to start taking these off of your plate. And that's how you're going to gradually start stepping this up piece by piece, one bite at a time, right? To start using that leverage. Who do you have on the brokerage? Who do you have on a team? Who do you have around you in your life? What systems, what technology can you start using to start either removing some of these off your plate or automating some of these or having someone else help with these things and start getting to those next levels where you can start managing the overall process as opposed to being deeply involved in every single task.
Yeah, and I'll give you a couple good examples to just get you started, okay? One, super easy, transaction coordinator. That's probably one of the most important early business owner moves that you can make that alleviate a lot of the time off of you. If you don't have a transaction coordinator and you're trying to make that leap, that's probably your first hire. Yeah. And if you love transaction coordination a lot, you may want to think about changing your likes. I don't know. But the key is you really need, that's a big role right off the gates. It's a standard cost. Most TCs can have that or be a part of a bigger team that does that for you. And like we have on our team, we have a staff of transaction coordinators that run all the files for all our agents. It's super important to have. They get all that time back with their clients to spend more of their time on the tasks that generate income.
Right.
If they're stuck working in the business, they can't work on the business. It's so important. So transaction coordinator, that should be one of the ones at the top of your list. The other two that I would say is a CRM, something that's helping you keep up and follow up with your leads. And to kind of tie into that, something to help you generate your leads. Those are the two other ones that are essential when you're trying to move from being self-employed to being a business owner. You need something generating business, nurturing business, and closing business.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there on, you know, we won't touch on every single thing, but obviously as you're growing, you want to have more leverage. Maybe you're getting to the point where you've now got a showing assistant that's helping you.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got, you know, somebody that's helping you to doing the marketing and on and on and on, depends on how big you want to grow that. And so you need to have that vision when you're starting out, have those tasks, have this time, start taking those steps, and then know where you're going. And know it's going to take some time, but if you start moving and putting those in place, you can go as far as you want. And that's part of what we're going to be continuing to talk about here is then how far do you want to go? How big do you want to grow this business? And not only with real estate, but then how do we look at other things? How do we add passive income to this? How do we start to leverage things around this industry that allow you to keep growing, keep moving, and really get to whatever level everybody wants to be at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really important topic as we continue this discussion in the show for weeks to come, is the fact that what are those other items? What are those other facets of our business that we've built and put into place that has transcended us to a new level? So one of the things that you're going to want to do, monitor your plateaus, monitor those pitfalls as they occur, write them down, say, hey, why are we there? You know, what got us into that mess, if you will? And then the question becomes is how do I get out? And that's what we're here for, is we're gonna take you through a lot of our journeys as well and go through those phases and share with some of those pitfalls as well as some of those wins and how we push past it to build a business like that.
Yeah, and how do we figure that out when we're not ready and you're sitting there looking at that big divide and you go, I know I got to be on the other side, but I'm not ready to go there.
And so you don't have a bridge. That's the
there's
key.
No bridge. So we'll dive deeper into that on a later show. But hopefully that gives you guys an idea here today. You know, are you self-employed? Are you a business owner? And where do you want to be? And if you're wanting to go to that business owner, which we know a lot of people in this industry, that's where people want to end up. You've got to have a plan. It's got to be deliberate and you've got to start working on that.
Yeah. So we'd love to have your guys' questions, guys. Send us out all the questions you have. The best email to reach us is questions@kpeliteaz.com. You can check it on the video screen as well and be able to Send us all your questions there. If you want us to dissect your business and help you figure out if you're self-employed or a business owner, we'd love to do that. Jump on a call and just take you through that process. We're here for that. We also would love to ask you guys to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as we continue to grow and share and bring you some exciting new things coming. The KP Academy started. We're going to be doing market updates and a lot of training videos for newer agents, experienced agents, and business owners as we continue to grow. So be ready for those on YouTube and Instagram and a few other platforms as well.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming out, guys. So check it out. Hopefully you got something out of this today. And we'll see you guys on the next show. Thank you.
Awesome. See you guys later.